would like to say something about some of the conditions. Savagery is this mythical structure. Sri Aurobindo has managed to use the mythical structure in a mantric way to reform or reconstitute our outlook, our energetic. Savitri is not about something. Savitri is the goddess of speech and silence, the word and the silence. So I gave a series of workshops about Savitri, and I've just been revising them. And one thing that it becomes very clear in studying the future poetry and Savitri, which we did, that in making this transition of consciousness, the thing, concepts that we know of in studying literature and in studying religion and myth focus on story and analogy and symbolism and all of these sort of mental and pre-mental structures. But in making this transition to the integral, it becomes possible to use the mythical structure in a way that involves the being in the process of sacrifice, in the process of re-energizing the mind, in the process of breaking the structures and reformulating consciousness. So that the mythic structure then ceases to be unconsciously what it is. The symbols are no longer symbols, they're forces. So Sri Aurobindo explains that this new mantric epic structure that he is using, that is the future poetry, which he writes about theoretically in 1920, but which he actually does in 1930 and 1940, is the use of language to convey soul force, to convey soul motives. And the images, he said, no longer are story and circumstance and symbol. All of the images are soul experiences. So when he uses words to describe the journey, the descent into night, the ascent into different planes of consciousness, he is building images from that consciousness, not about that consciousness. And so there is a new poetry, there is a new consciousness that is using language in a new way already. And it's, I think a warning can be given with respect to an understanding like Gebser's, similar to the warning with the understanding of the spiral dynamics theory. If we apply that structural understanding to something like Savitri, we can see in the list of different myths that they are all there in Savitri. And they're very explicit. Each one of those myths is there in a very explicit way. But it is not there as myth. It is there as energetic, soul energetic. So it can't be understood in this kind of analytical, symbolical way. I mean, it's a mistake to try to understand it and categorize it as a typical mythical structure. Because it is a typical mythical structure, but it is being used in a very different way, which he theorized about long before actually doing it. And that can only be discovered by taking a relationship to savitri, which is the relationship of practice. So that when he narrates the journey of the soul, one is doing that. One is allowing thought to become silent. One is experiencing the hush. One is going through these steps of discovering the soul within us, who is the soul of mercy, and then going beyond the soul of mercy into this will to change suffering, and then the wrath of the divine against the darkness comes through. And so savitri makes it possible to relive these ancient structures repeatedly, which are actually the structures of ourselves. So this is a by way of warning that the mind is so inclined to take a schematic and believe that that schematic is the thing. But it isn't. It's something else.
It's interesting that basically you're reflecting your mind, how it looks and why it is, where is that? Because I see this issue comes up every time with mythical structure. We discussed it not once. And every time there is a reference, but this is only myth. Interesting the thing that Gebser addresses this issue, and he gives in the forms of manifestation two different forms, efficient and deficient. And that is exactly where he covers that issue. A mythical structure, he gives primal myth, envisioned myth as efficient form, and mythology, spoken myth, that we believe in as a formation, as a form, as deficient. And you can see immediately answer here. So efficient form would be that vision, real experience, whereas deficient form would be that spoken story, which we believe is true, but it's not fully true.
Sri Aurobindo takes pains to say that our minds are not accustomed to receiving the mythical forms, the poetic forms, the Sanskritic Upanishadic forms in the way in which they have been created in the past. And it's a big problem for the rational mind to recover the efficient, because we're so accustomed to this deficient way of understanding, or in fact it is the deficiency of the thing itself,
right.
The deficiency of religion,
exactly.
The deficiency of sutra and mantra and so on. That's what we know. And we try to put a meaning on it. And so the mind then becomes its very heroic little warrior trying to construct meaning.
Right.
So we have to learn another way of hearing, speaking, seeing, that is the dynamic energy of the consciousness. And savitri teaches that.
Actually, Sanskrit is language, mantric language, in which all the Upanishads are written, and mind is refusing and cannot understand what is written there. But we have, actually, when we read it, translated or enriched, you get the benefit of different kind. I think it's efficient liturgy. All the stories which are written, they're like savitri in a way, they're mantric, and they are revealing the experience and they carry, because the language, how it's written and how it's built and how it's made, this poetry, very psychic somehow, I feel. Because even if when I didn't understand Sanskrit and when I heard the text, I was going to some space unknown to me, very, very close to myself. So I don't know how to say that, but it has a mantric force. The same that savagery, when you read it, you become close to that space where it brings us and makes experience. It's not the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as I said, we have to learn, or we don't have to do that, to see that, to read it like this. The thing is, for me, I think the person is that must be ready to look at this. The first time when I read, for instance, some pages of savagery, then I said, oh, that is fantastic. It's the first time somebody can put this or this, these feelings into words that you can understand what life is about. But then there are other people who say, oh, I read it, I don't know what that means. It's just the same. Anyway. So it's very difficult to say what it is talking about. What it is showing us. But it's so perfect showing, for instance, my life from the beginning to the end. Oh, not yet the end. I take it as a book, but I open and I read and I have these problems and then I see, oh, this is there, and then suddenly I can look at it in a different way and see, okay, it was me and I have to change.
I think I'm very thankful that these two poles you put out, because for me it's what you said, and Shakti also, is when the consciousness, or when the consciousness is good developed, the mind, then it's not this kind of view you can see, what you also put out. No? The one is the experience, the other one. And I have the problem or in a phase where I experience everything. And then when I go in the moods of the European things, I experience this darkness, this undevelopment, and all this. And then I understand what Shakti said. If you go with a Sanskrit, there's a nice, fine, touching energy. So it is also something when the mind is very highly developed, it's not the problem with the experience. They can deal it. When it's are not developed, which most females maybe have, or whatever, or uneducated people, then becomes a problem. They go in this more darker parts.
This discussion of structures what brought me to think that structure itself is something, yes, which is giving you the truth, is not so. I want to say, it's an interesting thought. You can be truthful in the mythical structure, or you can be not truthful. Yes? You can be truthful in the magic structure, or not fully. So you can have efficient form and deficient form, insisting upon. The same with mental. So the truth which is revealing, the truth is more complex phenomenon. It's not a phenomenon itself. Yes? It's a more complex issue. It cannot be revealed by one structure. By only soul, it cannot be revealed. Mm-hmm. By only nature, it also cannot be revealed. So it operates through all those means and needs all of them to manifest. It becomes a very interesting view that we know, this is one part of the truth, very indispensable for its manifesting. And that is another part of it, which has to be welcomed and brought in. And that is the third part. And finally, we are moving towards it, and we do not know what it is.
But on the way, you recognize something, on the way, some steps.
There is a truth of mythical, yes, there is truth of magic. There is truth of mental structure. There is truth on every, the integral truth is there also. But is it really complete? Most probably not, and it shouldn't be, most probably.
As far as we understood our delusions, we are completing ourselves still. We have to do the work.
The knowledge about this kind of makes us free from this partial approach of what is true and what is not. That's the only value.
If once you come closer to something true in yourself or not in yourself, you understand that everything is partial. You don't have the question, oh, if this is can be only true.
You can arrive at this truth, what you're saying, through the soul manifestation, mythical, or you can arrive to it through understanding of already mental structure. You can arrive at this understanding through many different ways. So it's not only one way to arrive at it. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but here complex, you can arrive only one way. The mental is working.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
We talk about mystical structure and magical structure and mental structures. It's interesting. I don't know if it's a possibility if we come to the intercraft to talk about the structure. For me, it's very interesting. I haven't been here at the beginning of GAPS presentations, but the same, what we did with the spiral dynamics, we haven't spent any much weight or time with the primal, in that way with the beige, or here we don't speak about the archaic. And I think actually, because I don't know if you speak about an archaic structure, there was no structure there, it was identification. I think it's crucial, possibly, in the transition into the integral, it's very similar, it's almost a reflection of the archaic. The same with the beige and the turquoise, in that way, I say, that there is a reflective process. And I think actually that's what we're missing, especially in the Western society, is actually the plunge into that new, what Savitri is, what it represents. So the integral is not an addition of things. It's not yet just another layer of it, as the, how to say, you come from the vital into the mental. I think the integral is a different state. It's a different, that's why he talks about the development of the A perspective. Yeah, it's not a linear way. If we enter the integral, everything will be different. It's not that we just add another layer and then we are integral. The integral is like a plunge into the depths, and the archaic is at its source in one way. I have that sense, and I'm feeling so. We, as long as we talk about the evolution and the structures, it's like a step-by-step process. And Mother speaks very clearly also about the leap. I think the integral is a different state of consciousness, and to come to that would be very important for, how to say, to reflect deeply on the archaic. What is this thing when you're completely identified, unconsciously? I think in the integral state, you are completely identified again, or you see the divine everywhere, and you do this perception consciously.
So individual has emerged.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we become integral through the integration of the magical and the mystical and the mental. I think it's a different thing.
The point is very valid here. And I think that, as Gebser defines, he says it's archaic structure is unconscious spirit, whereas integral structure is conscious spirit. So for spirit to become conscious of itself, it needs this process of manifestation in the individual. So consciousness for him starts with the division, where you are separating yourself from not yourself, and identifying yourself and you. This is the definition of consciousness by Gebser. It's not that archaic oneness of which is consciousness. It is when you undergo the process of separation, division, identifying yourself in you, that is consciousness. And that is conscious spirit in integral structure. Unconscious spirit in archaic supports everything, as he says all the time. And that's why any deviation in life into whatever separate perspective or vision is welcome, because you will not lose the origin. You can't lose the being. Being is here everywhere, all the time. You may look like you're losing it, but it's not true. So it will still dominate. it dominates all the structures. And he gives an interesting one part, and we will come to his tables at the end, and we will go through all of them and see how he identifies this unity of archaic structure through all the structures, how it influences and unites all of them into oneness. If it won't be there, this book would not be called The Ever-Present Origin, because this is the archaic structure, the ever-present origin, which is kind of manifesting itself, becoming conscious of itself in detail. It means manifest itself, seeing itself in you, seeing objectively, knowing itself in you. That's all. That's, your perception is right. It's not adding to it, it's adding to it in terms of evolution, something is happening. But basically it is all with the material available.
Actually the English title is better than the German.
Yesterday, last week they were saying the whole book is better than the German.
Translation is more easily written. English become more international language.
No, the ever present, I mean, it tells something else to the mind.
And because of Sri Aurobindo,
it's more.
It gives us more possibility to understand.
A little bit off the while I was reading, there were two things that struck me. One was his reference to the law of the earth. The law of the earth can't be said what it is, because when Gilgamesh asked his friend, what is the law of the earth? He come back from hell, or from the very bottom of the ocean. He said, I can't tell you, because if I told you, you would sit down. I can't tell you, because if I tell you, you will sit down and cry. And then he refers again to this. It's like a theme. So this law of suffering, called the law of suffering. And then last night while I was reading, I came across this, and it amazed me, because it was the first time. Because Gesser, he's so wonderfully personal. He's not talking about how he understood this, and he explains why he's explaining it this way. And it's like getting to know him. And suddenly, he gives a piece of advice. If we want to understand the individual structure.
Which page are you on?
141. He says, he's talking about, you know, is it a question of our ability not just to take in the measure of phenomena, to experience them in image or in their vital unity, but to see through them in their entirety? Mm-hmm. And how can we get so we can do that? He says we have then an indicator as to whether a given person has attained this awareness or not. Someone who has learned to avoid placing blame or fault on others, on the world itself, or circumstances or chance in times of adversity, dissension, conflict, and misfortune, seeks first in himself, and he emphasizes, the reason for guilt in its fullest extent. This person should also be able to see through the world in its entirety and all its structures. One path toward this goal is for us to try for once to take the blame on ourselves in a given instance in its entirety. After a dispassionate examination, we will see to what extent we are to blame and the equalization and equilibrium appropriate to wholeness, to the extent that anything can be appropriate, will restore themselves. We will be surprised at the conclusion of this frequently difficult process to discover that our perceptions, and this includes self-perception of the world, as well as of ourselves, have become a few degrees more transparent.
Is it not about Aurobindo?
Yes, everybody's silent. Everybody knows what's going on.
But he got, it struck me because he hadn't given any advice so far.
Mm-hmm. This is what Mother says. No, it's just almost word by word. So,
and each letter not saying love, 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 but truth, truth, truth.
This love, not to forget only all they say, it's the truth, and then they forget the love.
But the thing is, a person will not stop blaming others and judging until he or she doesn't come closer to something really essential in oneself. Because even people read the Mother, they should read, like gaps of people, and they have this advice and they don't stop. Because they cannot. They live from the mind, and this is the only device they develop. They don't know why they have to stop. They don't understand it. They don't realize it.
Yeah.
But they are obedience maybe. But once you feel something different and you feel this need to have this shift, you're searching and you see, you open and say, that it is. I know. Because you are ready. You're changing, and you notice those things. You notice suddenly what Mother said. By reading all your life, you don't notice it. What does it mean? And I suddenly, yes, that's it. Because the need is there, the call is there, and the changes are there. And so those people really, they read and they understand. I think it's like that. We have to come to it. Evolution is going on.
That's the meaning of developmental psychology.
Yeah.
Some, like you said, some people are going to be ready for the sacrifice, and others are not. And those who are will understand that that's a way of being, and it's perpetual. And this taking upon oneself of the primal guilt, this is yoga. This is death, the death in life of Nachiketas. This is a way of being. It's not just a story that's good for you to read. And so in Savitri, this sacrifice is made in every canto. It's perpetual. And so if one is practicing, then that canto is an aid to practice. If one is just reading about it, it's like any other story.
But you have to have a need.
So that need must be there.
Yes, because as Edith said, people say nothing, you say nothing, and some they sit and they say, God.
But then you have this. This is something that comes up at a certain point in your life where you say, so I will be looking after the real thing. But it's hard to do, it's absolutely hard, because then you yourself decide, I change. And then you start changing and you see nobody understands you. You have more trouble than you have before. But this trouble is worth it, because after a time, then you don't mind what others think. You just try to practice what's good for you and for the world.
The call is there, getting stronger and stronger, and you identify with that, and you follow only that, and you become more happy and happy. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. These difficulties are pleasant in a way, because they are the grace, and you have to go through them, and you know that you're doing the right thing according to that. And that's what we are, all of us here, for this reason. Otherwise, you can read whatever, and the words, the mental say, actually, logically, it is like that, but it's okay, I have my life, I have my boss, I have someone else, and he's idiot, and that one is, this thing, and everything is like that, so you don't have call, you don't have everything that happens here. So how to get that call, how to come closer? It is a grace, divine grace. So we can be just lucky, and we feel gratitude to other than they're giving chance. And they're giving that to feel. We can come together and we can say it on the same page.
But I have seen recently here the problems that arise or are in Aurobindo. They are really unsurmountable. Because for doing that, everybody should bring in so much willingness. Forget about yourself and just do it for the community. And I don't see how this can only, this kind of energy that suddenly can emerge over us that we have experienced some weeks ago when there was the seminar. There suddenly was this silence, this energy, and I think during that moment everything could have happened. But it was showing, I am here, this energy exists.
But then there is evolution. Evolution means that there are already structures that have repeated themselves so often throughout time that they constitute life conditions and they stimulate their own repetition. And so what you're saying is there, which is the eternal possibility, is always there also. But in evolution, the existing structures have to go through a process of change. And they only do that under the pressure of their own deficiencies and the descending truer force, which is always descending. At whichever period in history, it's descending from somewhere to someone else. So the mental had to work on the vital for eons, and now the supramental has to work on the mental for eons, and maybe less eons than the previous ones. So even though you have the experience of the grace, those old structures are going to continually re-emerge. And they have their utility, they're necessary. So part of this shift, part of the integral shift, is to integrate those old structures in a way that their utility is there, but they don't dominate to the extent that other qualities are lost. So we seem to be engaged in that kind of a dance in Oroville.
I would say that there are people like antennas in Oroville, and they are workers of special structures, special planes. They're always trying to receive some opening in their minds, the working of the minds, which make the mind refined and flexible and transparent. And they are really hard workers, you have to receive the pure knowledge and transmit it to the rest of the community unknowingly, because they have this urge inside themselves to do such work. There are workers who are working on a physical level, visibility. They would like to make it transparent and flexible and aware and clean, and they really dedicate to that work for some reason because they have this urge and they are part of different structure, which we have to respect and do, as you say. There are people on wider level which are making art, singing, beautiful paintings and whatever they can in Oroville, and they just really dedicate to that one. But now is the time when we start coming together and we start seeing the truth in each other, being presenting different structures, you know, and we see truth in each other, we see it. This is a time of integration. I feel it very strongly. When somebody is speaking about the body has to be like body awareness, and I feel it's so true, and it's so alive, and I'm full of love to it, because it's a part of the game, you know, the accepting, the unfolding, we respond to each structure. So, final integration.
I think we have difficulties with Arvind are because we want and we are pushing for change. Okay? The natural evolutionary process would just go on. How to say it would be more easy living. That the place is focused on change. And I think the problems always come in transition, as we know from our human growing transitional ages, you know, when in 3 to 4, 7 and the certain ages, puberty, where, how to say that, it's more difficult. And I think in Aravind we're kind of like a focal point in that way of evolution. We're highlighting the evolutionary crisis, and through the masters we have an ideal of change and we know where it should be, and that struggle of being in the transition. I think I just related an experience once. I was, my first encounter with Gebser's work was actually in a mystic process. It went over a week, and we spent basically a day each in the different life forms, archaic life form. It was like being a stone for one day, and then being a plant for one day, being in the animal consciousness for one day. And what a fabulous experience coming then into the mental being. But the most difficult moments in the process were, it's no problem to be a stone and to be a plant and enjoy the vital flow of it, but the changes of, and the teacher at that time was a Sufi master, the transition of from being a stone and feeling the life force coming in and that flow, that was just right through everybody in the process. Or from a plant which is very grounded and doesn't move and perceives, is in perception, then into the development of first instincts and strategy when you have to hunt for food. So always these transitory periods were the, in that process were just the most difficult ones. And I think, again, we are highlighting the change. We apparently achieved somehow a certain state of the mental being. We know about that there is something else and we are opening into it. And we want it and we are quite eager and possibly ambitious with it. And that push upsets the natural balance. It can create, maybe it accelerates it, but always when you accelerate on your motorbike, you're in higher danger than when you just go in third gear.
I'd like to ask you a question.
No, collectively, we are asked.
I'm going back to Bhavna's passage where Bhavna read, and I would like us to go for a deeper analysis. I mean, at one level, there is a truth to it, and another level, it's very dangerous. I'll repeat it again. Everything that happens to us then is only the answer and echo of what and how we ourselves are. And at one level, at an individual level, it's fine. But to say how we ourselves are, actually, postmodernist thought and deconstructionist thought shows that we ourselves are formed by society, how we are. And the danger here, the shadow of just taking this line of isolation is, I mean, ignore all the atrocities in Iraq or in Palestine, because you say that these people are suffering because at some level they ask for it, and it stops all the work in social justice and environmental justice. So I think that then it continues, and the answer will be an integral answer only if we approach the integral in ourselves. So the integral to me is not just the individual, but also how you are linked to society, and that you work in this atmosphere. I mean, I could give you, which is an example from Morgan again. I mean, we women are very often increasingly at that molested on the roads. And some women say, well, you're asking for it. You know, that's something in your consciousness is not right. And yes, that could be true, but it's also true that the social environment has rapidly changed. We've got lots of unemployed, testosterone-driven young men riding around harassing women. So the only thing to take both to get another little stops on the work and social justice.
But this is a transitional moment.
Either everything
gets destroyed or it changes. It's still possible that everything gets destroyed.
Destruction is part of the change.
And this accelerating and this trying, I feel it's actually blocking something. I feel that also we might bring something which looks like the change, but which is not the change. And I feel very strongly now about effortless. There has to be something effortless about it. Like when if I would read a text or Savitri, I find myself making an effort to understand, and thereby blocking the experience of what it is. It's something like this. I feel I will need to find a certain effortlessness, which to me is like a bit of a mystery.
And then
again,
I say it has to come. You know, it suddenly is there, and you cannot want it.
Yeah, but when you say it has to come, it also requires.
I mean, our will experiences very much. If you have something which has to be evolved, you can do efforts, and then it's more struggle. But if you stay back and give it, it's amazing. The people staying in line, it's not affliction before you. The others coming to you and just bring the things to you. It's amazing what happens here in our world. If you are open to this, what you said, and to open to the force. Because then it's such a soft transition from the one.
To come back to Aurobindo, what Bindu said, but actually this is the vision of Gebsa and Sri Aurobindo. Before individual is formed and built truly, you will have a, so to say, deficient cause of that individual growing. And that is the mental structure, where all these issues become issues of social responsibility and other things, but there is not yet individual. When individual is formed, then that mythical structure, the reality of the soul and its origin, becomes a vivid, present reality in the integral structure. There is no more harassment of the women on the roads. Not possible. Same. Before that, there will be everything which was there before. And even in a more uglier sense, because there had to be more separation, more clarification of what is what. So there will be extremes for us to learn and to recognize the reality within us and without us. Both, this is a valid process. But Sri Aurobindo doesn't see any possibility of transformation of this nature without individual. Right. And it's an important issue, the emergence of individual.
And also the conscious decision to want to change your being.
I see myself. Things become effortless and there's joy. And they're not effortless if I'm pushed by circumstances which are painful. And this is, you can watch yourself. Then the energy comes and the things are falling to place. There's no more effort. But, and I remember a quote of the mother, if once humanity is evolving through joy and not through pain, it is really a step forward. And humanity, of course, may have many different levels or development stages, but it doesn't matter that comes individual to it, I fear. It depends you, what you can master or you can realize to do anything of use to that. I mean, if you manage to be able to step back, give or sacrifice or surrender the pain and develop joy again, then the whole thing gets a totally different twist. And maybe then you're not harassing. I don't know. It's maybe a very strong comment. It's a very collective space, and one should not think one is a Superman, no? But still, your own subconscious vibration, which you emanate, creates the world also.
We are part of the whole world creation,
yeah,
and to raise women, it's all over the world. Sorry.
No, but I'm only saying, what are you doing and what can you do? For example, yesterday, it's the first time in my oral life, I have had to say to one woman, who was a guest here, obviously, are you aware that you cannot walk like this through the village?
Yes.
No? And I was very, because she looked beautiful, so all very, very nice, but when people, individuals, are not aware of what they are doing, yeah, and not aware where they are, then these imbalances are created, and then it's up to everybody to say something or to act. And I was very happy that I could say with a lot of compassion, not at all with, you should not, you know, because I think that you know, it's only an example of this collective individual acting.
I just want to say, I think there's, I understand, I mean, in that situation, that there's something maybe the individual is doing to draw certain energies towards them, if they're dressing a certain way or whatever. But when you're speaking about atrocities like the Holocaust, or, I mean, I just, I think there's different, we're talking about different things here. To blame the victim in a certain sense like that, I think it's something very different. But anyway, but my question was more of a point of clarification. Vladimir, when you use the word individual, I just want to clarify for myself that you're not speaking about the development of egoic consciousness, or you're actually speaking about what I think of more like a Jungian concept of an individuated person. Is there a connection there to his concept of an individuated person?
I thought you were talking more, that the sentence applies more to the true individuality.
I guess what I'm asking is a true individual, meaning not just somebody who recognizes themselves as, you know, everyone here, basically, but actually someone who has attained a sense of, I guess, call it individuation, really, from social forces.
Yes, and in terms of he became transparent to himself and others, to all the structures. So what happens to him now, when he has his soul in front, so to say, he realized his true being, and he realized that the whole thing around, his spiritualized individual, can you imagine that, enlarged himself to psychic, which got this influx of spiritual transformation, and is ready for supramental transformation. That is the individual. Individual who cannot be changed, or altered, or manipulated by any means, inner or outer. Because he already knows and sees transparently others and truths of others, these issues would not emerge. But on the way to become individual, there is this ego structure. And this ego structure is very short period in time, and we spoke about it, because it can't be long, we would destroy everything. So, but it is indispensable to form that separate being with separate responsibilities, with separate awareness, drawing on itself all the universal values and consciousness, becoming it and emerging another being. So that's the whole difficulty of mental structure, which we will discuss maybe next time. It would be interesting to look into that issue, why we are going through all these difficulties. But I also agree that it's good to stir a little bit this, you know, this swamp. And when the individual like this lady comes, and not completely dressed, and beautifully looking, and goes through the villages, and they suddenly get some wrong ideas, they have to reconsider. They have to review their position towards the individual. So it helps them. Of course, it costs something for others, because there is always a clash between the two. There will be always a danger of some kind. But it is the work which is to be done. That's why they appear and will come more and more. And you can't really dress them all into, put paranja, cover them, because there is there is something else we believe in.
But this is done by the medias, you know, that is, women don't feel in unease dressing like this, especially young women, because everybody in the movies, in the street, and fashion is made to dress like this. And those are only a few people who sit down at the table three times a year and decide what fashion we have. And
no, that's another issue.
But then they are not afraid to go half naked.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry I brought this whole issue of women harassment.
It's two sides. Because
how we deal with that is exactly an opportunity to see if we can do it without blaming, and that, and or to use the big advice of Mother Teresa, okay, consecrate it. Like, there's a consecration that has to happen when we address the problem of harassment on the roads. It has to be done. If we do it in that spirit, it doesn't mean that we won't have problems. We'll still have problems.
Yeah.
I get harassed on the roads every day. And the most harassing thing on the road is a big white Toyota 4x4, which is also a response to a kind of stimulation that is brought in from outside.
Exactly.
And all of this profusion of cheap shops and garbage on the road is also a response to a certain kind of stimulus that's brought in from outside. And the lady walking beautifully through the village is like all the other stimuli that are coming in from the outside, and the response that we're getting from the local population is harassment on every level. And so Oroville is, in a way, it's not much different than me teaching 12th standard students how to read literature. I mean, they have a really hard time conceptualizing something symbolic. They always want to interpret things in the most linear, matter-of-fact manner, and it's very difficult for them to conceptualize a symbol. And in that process, I'm stimulating them to do things with their minds which someday might lead to them practicing allopathic medicine and amputating people's breasts unnecessarily. it's like there's a whole, I have a teacher whose wife is going through this terrible treatment at PIMS because that's all they know how to do is use a scalpel, you know. So we have to realize that this is only, this female issue is a very small instance of a massive intrusion into a value system which isn't ready to absorb those values, while we are ready to go to a next level of values. You know, and what's coming in behind our urge to rise above is all of this other stuff.
If you see in a larger perspective also, we need those difficulties and we cannot blame it, because we maybe think we're already there, but those are the tests to see how we deal with them. Whom are we blaming, whom are we accusing for those things?
So I think that even more in the context of our yoga, I think that part of the individual attaining an individual consciousness has always been available. There are schools of descendants by mystics and so on. But I think we also have a duty to help society and others to achieve that integral consciousness. And it is the work of Arjuna and Gita, or the work of Arjuna fighting the British, that there is social, that is the distorted, because societies are still at the lower level, and one still has to contribute.
But you do that by being strong also, right?
Sure, sure. And by not being yourself, by not blaming others, the first step.
Sorry?
No, as Jeff says, by not blaming others, but the still doing Nishikar Makari, which is still... otherwise, it's like saying, yeah, Bush and Cheney, they were right, they had... they are also equal to themselves, and their atrocities are right, and it's a very dangerous stance to take to be able to realize that. I don't know, let's stop, I'm not being very coherent. I'm saying that if you
take a partial reading of this sentence, it can lead to a very dangerous, distorted view of things.
Yeah, I've partially read everything that's been talking about.
You wanted to say
something? Yeah, I just think that, waters of light and every obstacle that appears in front of us, we have the opportunity to change and to give some light. And with our hearts, and I think everything is about love. And I feel strange when you say they or their other brilliance, or because I don't feel that. I feel that we are in unity and we are all one. And if we are all one, they are not different than me. And I just have the opportunity with the other to show and to be a channel of light, and it will feel the same by me. So all these things that appear to us and have the opportunity to make a difference or to not make a difference. And if we make it and if we feel that this is with our love and with our passion, and that we feel that even if we look and we feel that something is not okay, that if we see that we are also that, and if we can exchange just with compassion and love, I think this is the process of this evolution, because we are here, we are the conscious warriors of this life, but this is all our army, and we just have to touch with the hands, and this light will come through, and it's not saying this and not making this gest, it's the opposite. It's just giving, and to give, we just have to be a poor channel, and I think this is the way of growing.
I have a reflection that it's interesting that in our life, in the span of our development, we spend a pretty brief part, maybe if it's like 1.5 years, in that magic space, where archaic space, where we're just one, and we have to learn, you know, to touch and to hear and to taste. And then we have maybe another 2 years in that magic realm where we try to deal with things and name them and get power over them. And I don't know, people who work with children, I always found maybe up to 7, maximum 9 years, that there's the mystic possibilities in the play with kids is very much there. And then through our schooling system or whatever, through our society orientation, the mental development starts. And I'm asking, where is it ending? Where are other impulses in our society coming? Where we could say, okay, the mental development is done with the individuation process in their 20s. Where's the communal aspect coming in? Where's the spiritual aspect coming in? So I feel it's a whole orientation was in those last, maybe the last 2,000 years, it is towards this individuation, and we have not yet gotten it, the process is through the mental and the intellect to come to this individuation and says, okay, what next? So we're spending this lifetime, a whole lifetime with it, and we have to start over again and come maybe a little bit shorter period. So it's the orientation of this, of our society and of what we're aiming for. And you in traditional societies, very clear, for instance, in the Indian way, 56, you go into Vanaprastha, you go into Sannyasin, that within a lifetime, actually, you come into different states of consciousness. And the Western
maybe
thing,
for men. Maybe for male men.
No, yeah, whatever. It's just the orientation of our Western society, what we're preoccupied with.
What is also happening very lately, what I observe in the West, there's a new notion which comes out with labels like the new we and collective intelligence. So the individualization is already reaching out to the we in a new way, based on the individual, not as a mass or not as a merging into a collective on the old levels.
I have a question. I understand correctly. Individual is not complete. Mm. In
individual, if he doesn't develop his metta wheel to such extent where he can be open to the shift of the consciousness towards the higher level. Is it like that? Or a person can be not developed mentally, but having a huge heart, and he's already there?
He can be there.
I think it relates to what I said, because it happens in certain small quarters of society, very much in the West, which has been more individualized. That's a fact, I think. And there it can happen, and it happens surely also here in India or in some cultures, but somewhere else, this has not happened yet enough to come to that point.
In spiritual society, you mean it is possible?
No,
like
the new
India,
media, the new collective cannot emerge when the mantra is not developed.
The green cannot be there when the orange hasn't been passed through. And I have a sense that this whole process of the integral is almost about seeing. And I think it even applies, well, this process of individuation, I almost see it being very applicable to the structure of the eye and how the eye is formed. Because I think, like, as we grow through our mythic and archaic and our the various structures of our being, it's this eye that is getting, it's getting formed. And within the center of this eye is this space that is there that's to refract and reflect with this objective imaging and this light refraction. That's the spirit or this imaging of our other selves. And seeing this eye being this oneness, observing this multitude of oneness. And I almost sense that an Orville, in a way, is a construction of an eye. It's a process of individuation. And I think as each individual becomes individuated, the eye becomes more and more formed in a collective, communal, global sense too. So I think the process of individuation is a process of globalization. And as we move into our communities and we embrace and integrate the various structures of this society that is on our boundaries, you know, like the Tamils and that, it articulates the muscles of the eye and it articulates the growth of the eye, and it gives the eye structure and allows the individuation process to become more capable of seeing. Just seeing this, just like when you look at the mother in almost all her pictures, her eyes are just the seeing. Just the seeing, sit, and it's just a simple seeing. And I think that this whole process of individuation is this integral movement, is this process of just being able to almost see. And then the seeing is this love, and then it's this radiation of this mass movement of, you know, and just the eye is just seeing.
Important for the mental structure.
Yes.
Mm. And in the integral structure, it takes its place. It's not the eye in integral structure, it takes over.
Right.
There are other parts where the self-expression of the mouth, of the heart, this heart thing comes, and I think this is most essential for the integral structure. Mythical comes back, but in a new dimension, when the individual is formed. So it comes already not past-oriented, not we-oriented, but...
This individuation ultimately results in collectivization.
Yes.
And obviously in the problems that have been identified here, we need that mental structure.
Right.
We need order. We need ethics.
Mm-hmm.
We need respect. We need the ability to focus in a methodical way on spreading values that protect each individual from the other individuals. So we need this mental structure. And maybe in this situation we are so inundated by the mythical that we neglect the mental structure.
Should we finish with a minute of silence? And the next time we will start, there was a proposition to continue with different myths, which is very interesting in itself, to look into different traditions, bring different myths and see it. But the dynamism of the,
mm-hmm.
of the unfolding of this understanding in its introductory sessions, I think important that we will keep up with mental structure next. It's already emerging here in the necessity to clarify what it is.
And I had a question similar to one you asked last time. Is anybody interested enough in Ken Wilber to take on some responsibility and give us an introduction? And not an introduction to Ken Wilber, but an introduction to transpersonal psychology and especially his most recent synthesis. I mean, his book called Integral Spirituality is a very good synthesis of all of his thought, but it deserves a treatment. I'm wondering if anybody has the horses at their disposal to do that. Just putting it on the table.
You planning two more sessions with Skipster?
Yeah, I think we need for mental structure has to have the whole day, I think. It's very important and interesting. And then integral structure would be all kind of things. Spirit, time, all these concepts. And we will go through all the two more days. Yes? Is it all right?
Yeah.
Two more? Yeah.
On Thursday we had at 5 o'clock an additional. Remember there was somebody here last week who had Thomas Dreyer on evolution. The evolution is about
it. So it's online now, right?
Yeah. So that was nice. And I was wondering if there is something on the to go more into this. Could we do that on Thursday? Has somebody got that prepared? Hopefully.